Well, good morning, everybody. Y'all looking good. Looks like y'all lost weight. I mean, hey, just receive it. It's free. It didn't cost you nothing. It felt good, didn't it? Amen. My word. You know it's going to get better today, by the way, if you help me preach. So you can say stuff like, all right. You can say stuff like, preach. You can say stuff like, come on. You can say stuff like, preach it, white boy. Oh, you are awful. You're awful. Today, the topic and the title of the message is Mind Games. Mind Games. I don't know if you have ever felt anxious. I mean, I'm sure the only one in here who's ever felt anxiety at some point. Or worry, or some kind of fear, or doubt, or insecurity. These things are very real, by the way. Let me tell you something, and I'll tell you kind of where to write stuff on your notes. You should write this down. Some statistics on anxiety disorders. Did you know that anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S.? It affects, listen to this, 40 million adults. That's 18 and older, okay? That's 18.1% of the population. That means in this room, about 20% of people are dealing with stuff on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis. It's common, meaning you're not alone. Now, what's interesting is, when we deal with stuff such as worry or doubt or insecurities or anxieties, sometimes we allow it to fester in our minds. And that can lead to what becomes a little bit heavier, words like depression. That sometimes will draw us into a really dark place where the thoughts we think are not in line with what God says about us. Or about the situations we face. And we start to think very depressing thoughts. And thoughts that pull us into a very lonely place. And sometimes, honestly, it can be paralyzing. We feel like there's no hope and no purpose. And that all goes against, by the way, what God says. Because there is hope. There is purpose. And there is healing. Now, in this series called Joyride, and this is, by the way, message number 6 out of all of these messages, and the title again, it's called Mind Games. We have learned the big idea, and it's on the screen here. The big idea in this series is this, that I can choose joy. Everybody say choose. So what I'm saying is, you might not have the best circumstance, but even in the midst of what's going on around you, you can choose joy. And in this message, I'm going to explain to you how you can do that practically. We're going to take some time at the end of this message and we're going to practically do it. But let's not take my word for this. Let's go to the Word of God. We are in the book of Philippians and we're in chapter 4. I'm going to reread the verses that Pastor Wayne read last week and then I'm going to add about another 4 to that, okay? So I'm in chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 4. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. But instead, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here's the result. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will now guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Whatever you have learned or received, heard from me, put it into practice. Here comes the result again. And the peace of God will be with you. Question. Have you ever thought or felt like you're almost like a hamster in a wheel? Like you're running so fast and you're like gaining no ground at all. But it's like, I'm just going. Okay, so I'm going to show you a little video clip because this might be how you felt when you experienced that. Take a look at the screen.
I run and I run and I run and I run and I get out and I've gone nowhere. Nowhere!
Everybody say nowhere! Have you ever felt that way though? Like you've been, like this is you, in bed at night and you can't fall asleep. Like your mind is racing. You can't stop thinking. If that is about, will I get the promotion? Or do I have to move? Or will my son or daughter, fill in the blank? Or will I get that grade? Or will I be able to graduate? And will I be able to get the career that I think I should get into? And you feel pressure from life. And you lay there in bed and you can't fall asleep. Chances are you are not alone if you're in this room and say, I feel like that at points. And today I'm going to talk to you and explain practically how you can break that. Not by what I think, but because of what the Bible says. Are you good? Are you with me, church? It's going to be better if you talk back. That is for sure. All right, I'm going to preach. I'll get going soon. This is kind of this getting ready. So in your notes, you should kind of have it here, and here's what I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you how to win the mind game, how to win it. Now, Paul, in the Bible, I read from Philippians 4:4, he gave you the first clue. In Philippians 4:4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. So when things go good, I'm going to rejoice, right? How about when things go bad? Rejoice. How about when I just have an average week and it's kind of like, rejoice, right? Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Let's try that again and see if I can get almost everybody to wake up. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Oh, you're here now. Now it's going to be good. I feel it. All right. Rejoice in the Lord always. And now he goes again. Again, times two. Again, I tell you, rejoice. So when the Bible mentions something more than once in the same sentence, pay attention. This is important stuff. So we need to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, if you know me, my name is Matthias. It's a weird name. It's kind of like Matthew in English, but more beautiful. I mean, I think my mom named me that. It means God's gift. Just got to throw that out there. So my wife here said, love you, babe. Can I say? English is not my first language. It's one out of a couple different ones that I speak. I love English though. I love learning languages. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. R-E. Everybody say re.
Re.
Re is a grammatical, it's called a prefix. Okay? Teaching you some, what you missed in school when you were taking naps. I'm teaching you that stuff now, okay? Who paid attention in school? Raise your hand. Who kind of zoned out at points? You know what I'm saying? I'm raising both my hands. Rejoice. Re, everybody say re.
Re.
Re is a grammatical prefix. It's on your notes, but here's what we learn. It comes from Latin. It's used with the meaning again or again and again. It indicates repetition or the meaning back. Everybody say back. Like going back or backwards. Indicates a withdrawal or backward motion. To regenerate, to refurbish, to retype, to retrace, to revert. So re means going back. Let me teach you something about the Bible, by the way. It's very different than society. Society will tell you there's always something newer and greater. And you need that newer or greater to be happy. So a new iPhone comes out and you need it badly. And if you get that with those three cool cameras, surely you'll be happy. Or you need that promotion. You need that corner office. You need that grade. You need to chase that dream. But here's the deal. It's a thing that you're chasing that you can never catch. Meaning, you think if I only make 100,000, I'll be happy. You get to 100,000 and your income goes up to that level and your spending goes up to that level. You say, if I only made 150,000 and you get to 150,000, but yet your income is skyrocketing and your spending is skyrocketing. And you say to yourself, if I only close this deal and if I only land this promotion, if I only, and then you realize 250,000 is not going to make you happy either. So you keep chasing something newer, cooler, fancier, trendier, but yet when you get there, it doesn't bring you joy. The Bible goes backwards. It says, go back to something that is original, that is never changing, something that you can put your feet on and plant your life on a rock that does not move, and that rock is Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what comes against you, because when you have Jesus in the boat with you, it doesn't matter what storms are raging, because greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everybody say re. So half of you have gotten this so far, so I need to break it down to you. It's like street language here. This would never happen for somebody attending Grace Assembly of God, but probably a church down the street or up the street. So, fictional person gets a car loan. Fictional person gets way in over their head and their car broke. And they can't pay their payments. And the bank will deal with that for a month or two, or perhaps even three. But at some point, they're like, we need to take back what belongs to us. We're going to repossess our property. Because you didn't follow through the financial obligation of the promissory note that you signed. You're with me? Okay, that if I hand somebody my iPhone and I say, here, Trey, I'm going to borrow you my phone. And I say, hey, can you return my phone to me? It belongs to me. Do you see what I'm saying? So when he says, rejoice, again, I say rejoice. He's saying, you need to put your mind back to an original state. You need to go back to a thinking that is clear, to a perspective that is right. You need to see things God's way. Chances are, if you don't do that, you will deal more with stress, anxiety, worry, even depression, than if you were thinking God's way. And I'll show you why. Are you with me so far? Hopefully I'm getting you something you can put into practice here. Because Paul said this in this chapter. He said, put it into practice. Now listen here. In this message series, Pastor Wayne has given us a couple of scriptures. He's given us Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 says this, in your presence is fullness of, let's say that again, in your presence is fullness of joy. And then Pastor Wayne has taught us from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your
strength.
The joy of the Lord is your
strength.
You're with me. Here's how it works. When you feel weak and depleted, have you ever noticed in the moments where you kind of even perhaps doubted coming to church? Of course, again, never happens to anybody attending Grace. So fictional church down the road. And somebody attends that fictional church and they're like, I don't even know. I just feel like I have a headache and tired. I've been working so hard. And I feel like, life is just awful. But should I go? Should I not go? And you kind of force yourself to go. Of course, that has never happened to any. No. But you force yourself to go, and then you get to the point where you show up to church, and someplace in between worship and preaching, you realize you feel better. Sometime at the altar call, as pastor is praying, you just feel stronger. You feel a vibrance. You feel hope. You feel purpose. You might have come in with a headache, and you realize, like, that headache is gone. Have you ever been there? Have you ever gone on a missions trip where you were away from this little thing called a mobile phone? And all of a sudden you're like, I feel free. Anybody? Here is what you need to do. Write this down on your notes. How to win the mind games. You need to do this. Distance yourself from distractions. You need to put the distance between you and the things that distract you. And you need to do this secondary. You need to prioritize being in the presence of the Lord. What does that mean? It means I need to get away from social media, the snappy chatties, the Insta-Gs. Listen to me here now, young people. You need to get away from all that. You need to go, adults, get away from the Facebook. Put your face in the book instead and read it. Get away from the things that distract you. Hello, somebody. Move away from that person that is all but drama and say, I don't need the drama in my life. I need God. Walk away from that. Be in His presence. In His presence is joy. And now since you are in His presence, there's not just joy, but there's strength. That is what the Word of God says. This is why when you have had the worst week of your life and you come to a church service, something just energizes you. Because you're not watching news. You're definitely not watching bad news or fake news. You are hearing the good news. Come on, somebody. And something changes because you are in the presence of the Lord. There's joy and there's strength. There is a recharge when you unplug. Now listen here carefully. The biggest distraction you and I probably have is in my hand right now. It's in your back pocket or it's in your purse. It's called a cell phone. I'm going to challenge you. Pastor has challenged us every message leading up to this with a joyride challenge. This is called a digital detox. I mean, detox. Pull away from it. Pull away from it as much as you can. And I'm going to challenge you. Replace the time with God time and something will break loose in your life. There's a different level of freedom. Am I saying you can't use it? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying use it less. Do you know what happened first service? I looked and got a notification. Screen time notification. 3 hours and 20 minutes a day. And that's my phone. That's me being real. That's me being honest. That's how much time I spent last week on this device. Now, given I give a lot of that time for different church-related stuff, but a lot of it is just looking around. A lot of it is just listening to stuff. A lot of it is time I could prioritize differently. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. Yeah. Told you it's better if you talk back. So you need to distance yourself from distractions. All right. Sometimes in life, this is how you feel. This is on your notes. This is how I feel sometimes. Sometimes it seems like the only way to keep up with all the demands of our lives is to constantly run at maximum pace. That's just me. I just feel like I've got to go faster. I've got to wake up a little bit earlier. I've got to go for a little bit longer run. I got to put in a little bit more time at work. I've got to close a few more deals. I've got to get a little bit better grade. I've got to hang out with friends. Have you ever felt like, when is it me time? Have you ever felt that way? When do I get time for me? But here's the deal. There's another way. There's another way than going at maximum speed. There's another way when we have room to breathe. Everybody breathe in really deep. And let's let it go. Try it again. You're going to feel better. It's oxygen, y'all. There's a place in the way of life when you get room to breathe and space to respond to what life brings to you. And the key to that, write down this word now, the key to that is how to live with margin. Everybody say margin. That's the key. Now, throughout this series, we've had some amazing vehicles on this stage. When we started out with an Indy car, it was cool. Who liked that Indy car? I mean, my personal favorite That GTO was sick. I mean, if somebody feel like God is leading you to buy me one, I'll receive it. I mean, like, hey, I'll drive it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But it was a cool ride, right? We had an awesome truck up here a couple of weeks ago. And last week, that motorcycle, whoa. I don't know if it's comfortable to ride, but that thing looked cool. So since I'm preaching today, I had a little say-so of what vehicle we're going to have on the stage. Are you guys ready for the reveal? Are you ready? Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. I don't think you are ready for this. The best is yet to come. Drum roll. Can we create the drum roll? Come on. I want to hear it. Clap. Oh, you got the clap. Here we go. You guys ready? One. Everybody say one. Everybody say two. Everybody say three. Here it comes. Are you guys ready? I brought my Prius, y'all. Boom. I brought my Prius. If you want to take pictures, this is it, Andre. Anybody else? I mean, this is my car, y'all. Ha! Not the fastest one. Definitely not the most expensive vehicle we've had on the stage. I do say probably best gas mileage. Like, I really think I have the best gas mileage. I can push 50 miles per gallon. That's good. Does it have some dings on it? Yeah, it's a 2012, y'all. 2012. It's definitely not brand new. I haven't washed it for like, last time it rained, that's when it got washed. Crew car wash, anyone? No, I missed rain, Jesus, rain. Rain on me, rain on my Prius. Now, there's a reason I wanted to put my vehicle up here. Because I've been on the other side of the coin when I thought that I needed to have a vehicle that I drove out of the showroom floor. Been there, done that, car broke. Meaning, I invested all my money in a payment for a car I could not afford. And the Bible says that the borrower is a slave to the lender. Could I get something nicer than this? Yeah, I could. But you know what the cool thing about this Prius is? I'm not bragging, but I own this vehicle. It's my vehicle. No bank owns this car. I own it. It's mine. No loan. It's mine. Now, here's why. Don't applaud. It's not. I've been on the other side where I completely went the wrong way with my finances. But there's a right way of doing it with margin. Could I go down the street to a dealership today, find a very nice car, get the car payments for $400 to $600, be approved today? Yes, I could be approved today. Could I put a nice down payment on? Yes, I could. Could I drive away in a really expensive vehicle? Yes, but I would have payments. So pastor has taught us this. I'm teaching you something now that's real life skills. Pastor has taught us that the key to joy is gratitude. Live with margin. If I can drive this vehicle a few more years, guess what? I will drive it. I'll probably get better gas mileage than you. It's all right. Is it the best? Is it the fastest? Is it the coolest? No, 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 no. But it's mine. And I paid for it, and I have margin. Moms and dads, can I talk to you? Be very real. You need to create margin at work with your time. Is it worth working 80 hours a week and lose your kids? The answer is no. It's not. Chasing after that corner office, that promotion, closing that new deal, and yet losing your soul, you can win the whole world, the Bible says. Yet, you can lose everything. I'm here to tell you something, church. You gotta live with margin. Everybody say margin. Margin relationally. Margin financially, and margin with God. And let me explain how margin with God works. Are you ready? Today's the day of illustrations. I love illustrations. I'm visual. So hopefully you get something out of this. This is a representation of your mind. Everybody say mind. Right now you are pretty empty. I mean, there's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? All right. So we got to fill up our mind with stuff. Here's the problem. Everybody say problem. The problem is a lot of people fill up their mind with junk. The what ifs. What if I lose my job? What if I don't get the promotion? What if I don't get my annual bonus? What if I have to sell my house? What if that mole I went, that birthmark I went to take, what if that's cancer? What if I die at 55 because my mom or my dad died at 55? What if, and we play this what if game, right? And as we're playing the what if game, this is what happens. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? And we keep filling our mind with negativity. And we fill it up almost to the brim with thoughts that honestly don't line up with what God's word says. And then we wonder, why isn't God blessing me? Why don't I hear God's voice in him? Because, my friend, this is you. You have a whole bunch of negativity in you. So the world would say this. Society would say this. You just need to empty out all that stuff. The world would say, why don't you meditate? Why don't you go up on a mountain and just get away and detox and just pour out everything and empty out everything that is in you. But when you do that, you are again left with, help me out, nothing. So is this attractive? Is this what the world wants? Like emptiness? Nothingness? I don't want that. And here's what Paul then says in the passage I have referred to over 10 times so far, Philippians chapter 4. He says, no. It's not that you need to empty yourself out. He says, it's about what you pour in. So Paul in Philippians 4, he says this, whatever is lovely, whatever is right, whatever is admirable, whatever is true, whatever is trustworthy. Do you see what I'm saying? You just pour and pour and pour until it starts overflowing. You place that in you instead. So it's not doing stuff. It's about what you place in you. Okay, so Pastor Matthias, does that mean that life will just be perfect from that point on? No. Will you have hardships? Yes. Will sometimes you have to face economical challenges? Yes. Will you sometimes have to face sickness and disease? Yes. Will you sometimes have to encounter death? Yes. Will you encounter stuff that is not fair? Yes. But here's what happens. When that stuff comes, the negativity, and there will, the bad days, the hard days, the tough days, and when that's poured on you, it will no longer stay in you. Because there's more of God in you than the issues coming over you. So here's what you need to do now. Teenagers, you all know if I say swipe right. But I'm telling you right now, this is how you swipe right. You say, in the name of Jesus, I don't even want that junk in my life. So I just swipe right. I want to be filled with what is right, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is true, what is trustworthy. I want God's word in my heart. That's why scripture would say things such as this, I've hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Do you see what I'm saying, church? I'm talking about something. Are you ready for the line that will tweet really good? Are you ready for the line that will be really good on Facebook? And the snappy chatties and Instagees, young people, hello. All right, make sure they're awake back there. Here's the truth. You need to write this down. You can't control every thought that flies into your mind. Okay, you can't. But you can control which ones you allow to land on your heart. I'm telling you, thoughts will pop in. Even for the most holy person in the room, you'll get a weird thought and you go, whoa, how can I even be thinking that? Have you ever been there? The thing is this, though. The difference between somebody who's been in the game for a long time is that we don't allow that to take permanent hold and hold and draw a root system in our hearts. We say, no, 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 no. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. No, 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 no. The best is yet to come. No, 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 no. God is in control. No, 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 no. God is my peace. He's my provider. He's my hope. He's my refuge. He is the rock. I place my life and my family on Jesus. And it doesn't matter what comes against me, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Do you see the difference? Church, what I'm proposing to you this morning is this. This is, I think, the last fill in the blank for you. I'm proposing this, that when you stop living according to the pattern of this world, but instead you start living according to the rhythm of God's grace, you will no longer be the same. I'm talking about when you choose to say, I want to fill myself up with the things of God. I'm not just going to be moved by circumstances. I'm going to be moved by Christ living in and through me. And because of that, I can face anything because my God is in control. And when the enemy comes up against you and the mind games start, you say, you're not fighting me, but you're fighting my God. And my God has already won the victory, and I am victorious. Am I talking to somebody in this room? Everybody say problem. Will you allow me to be very real today? I mean, I know I have the microphone, so it really doesn't matter what you say. But like, transparent. The problem is so many people don't live that way. 40 million people deal with this on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis. The anxiety, the worry, the hamster in that wheel is spinning faster and faster. It results in lack of sleep that spirals into lack of job performance, that spirals into health issues like blood pressure and other issues. You don't check that, so now it deals and it's gone deeper. It's become a depression. And you start to think thoughts, they're intoxicating. Negativity is just permeating you. And I'm talking to some people in this room. Well, you're like, yeah, God will bless other people, but never me. This will never work out for me. Pastor, I get it. You're up there. You're all excited, but you don't know my situation. I'm here to tell you, you don't know my God. So listen carefully now. And it spirals deeper and deeper. And now you start to think thoughts that none of them align with the Word of God. And you start to say things like this. If I'm not around, people would be better off. You start to say things like this. If it just ended, it would be better for everyone. I told you, I'm going to go there. Do you know that in the last 20 years, the suicide rate has skyrocketed by 33%? I'm going to tell you a couple of stats because this blew me away. If I can find my notes under all of this sand. I'm not much for looking at notes, but I did look at this up. Do you know that for 35-year-olds all the way up to 54-year-olds, suicide is the fourth leading cause of death? If you're here today, you are 35 to 54, fourth leading cause. Moms, dads, let's go from 10-year-olds up to 34. Suicide now has become the second leading cause of death. From 10-year-olds to 34. Did you know that suicide is the 10th leading cause in America for death? You say, so what? Some of you in this room, you've been there. Others, you've had family members who's been there. Others in this room, if you're really honest, you've had some very negative thoughts pop up. Dark ones. Really dark. I remember 6 years ago as we lived in Miami, Florida, my neighbor is a federal airline marshal. His name is Frank. Very good friend of ours. His wife, Brenda, super good friend of ours. I'm not just talking neighbor, I'm talking our kids would play with their kids and sleepovers in our house, sleepovers in their house. Two beautiful girls. I have two girls. They're best friends. And all of a sudden, divorce comes into the picture and their world gets put upside down. All of a sudden, all hell itself breaks loose in their family and Frank spirals out of control. I keep telling him, Frank, listen, you can call me 3 a.m. You have my direct number. I don't care. If you feel crazy, call me. And he would. He would call me until one day when they put him on a flight to go to New York, you know, they're red flagging certain flights, and he's there, he's carrying his gun. His job is to take out terrorists. And he's in a hotel room, and he starts drinking, and he takes his gun that our government has given him, and he blows his brains out. And I officiated that funeral. Two beautiful girls saying, why would daddy do this? Why? Daniel had to take those girls from that funeral halfway through. He has to get them away to our house. Can I talk about suicide for a moment? Can I talk about depression? Can I be real? The pendulum has swung so far. If you're an older person in the room, you remember when he was back here. If you even think about it, you go to hell. You go to hell even thinking about it. Parents, listen carefully now. The pendulum has swung so far to this side that now it's celebrated. Now he or she is finally free. They are up with God and his angels, and finally, see, they swung so far. You say, well, where do you stand? Can I approach it from a completely different perspective? Can I do that? I speak out of personal experience now. When somebody commits suicide, here's what they do. They reach down to hell itself, and they grab a hold of hell, and they pull hell up, and they place it on their family members. They place it on their school. They place it on their neighborhood. They pull hell itself and places hell all around them. They are gone, yes, but the family members are dealing with the worst of the worst as the worst. Last week, Pastor Wayne taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? We prayed this here. I know as a believer, I am not called to bring hell into any situation on this earth. I am called to draw heaven down. I am called to bring heaven down into trouble, bring heaven down into fear, despair, and doubt. I am called to say there's hope, there's purpose, there's healing, there's forgiveness. God loves you. That is what I'm called to do. And I'm approaching the subject from that matter. Your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven, but also right here in Greenwood, Indiana. Right here in my life and in my family. And if you're in this room and you've been having those kind of thoughts, you are not alone. Let me tell you, brother, you're not. Let me tell you, sister, there's people in here like Russ. I'm so proud of Russ when he shared his story like a year ago. My God, that thing has changed people's lives by you being bold. That thing is just tearing it up on the internet. Sometimes it's matter of stepping up and saying, do you know what? Those mishaps is going to become ministry. That test that I went through, I'm going to use it as a testimony. I'm telling you, you view it differently, and all of a sudden, game changer, the mind games have changed. Look at your notes, your handouts, if you have them. Here's what we're going to do. The Joyride Challenge. Everybody say challenge. Set aside 5 minutes a day to create the holy moment. There's people in this room, you spend way more than 5 minutes. Others, you don't have any minutes. If you spend time with him, add to it. If not, give him 5 minutes. Number two, do a digital detox. Pull away from this as much as you can and watch God move. Replace the time with God time. You're with me. Some of you, when I'm talking about this beautiful Prius up here, I mean, feel free to come up, take pictures with me in the car later on. It's all right. I'll pose. You need to create margin. The car you drive, you are in over your head. Me and Dave Ramsey would give you the same advice. Sell that sucker, pay off your credit cards, live below your means. It will take a hardship, it will take a long time, but once you get out, you're going to be freer than you ever have. I'm telling you, you might live way above where you should live. Quit eating out. Eat ramen noodles. If you could do it in college, you can do it now. Create margin. Are you with me? Create margin with God, with what you put in your heart. Here's what we're going to do. It's just weird how second service, we always preach longer because you guys are willing to stay. I'm going to ask you to give me a favor. Can you give me 5 minutes? It's exactly 12:15:48. 5 minutes. And I want to practice what I've been preaching today. I want to create the holy moment. I want to create a time where you could leave the seat where you're at and come up to an altar like this without anybody knowing what's going on in your life and perhaps kneeling down and saying, God, change me. God, heal me. Perhaps you're standing and raising your hands, saying, God, empower me, free me in a fresh way, anoint me. Like you don't have, you're not going to die to leave in 5 minutes from now. You're going to be fine. Right? Seriously, you're going to be fine. I was in a church once when the pastor said this, you have a roast in the oven, I'd rather have the roast burn than you. I thought that was funny. Some of you are like, whoa, preach it, white boy. I'm saying, would you give me 5 minutes? And perhaps you've never walked up to an altar, but today you would actually leave where you're at and say, God, change me. Like, I need you. Like, I really do. So what we're going to do, if you could stand up, we're going to sing. Feel free to come.
Here I lay my burdens down.
Feel free to come.
Lose my worries in your love.
I will tell you when the 5 minutes have gone, okay? So don't worry.
Casting every care on you. I have carried them enough.
If you're dealing with stuff, you come right now. You come right now. Press through now. Come on. If you're able, raise your hands. Raise them. He is here. 3 minutes. Emmanuel. Start to receive this now.
Mercy is falling, falling.
Come on, let's lift up our hands.
Lift up your hands, receive it now.
Here in the presence.
Here in the presence.
1 minute, 15 seconds, come on. Mercy is falling.
Mercy is falling, falling.
So lift up your hands.
Lift up your hands, receive it.
Here in the presence.
Here in the presence of the Lord.
I know your past. I know your past is broken. 40 seconds.
You can move on. It's over now.
Here in the presence. Crazy how you just feel different doing that, because God is here. Here's what we're gonna do. Every eye open and everybody looking at me, unless you're up here praying, it's gonna ask you a very simple question. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? And if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. Everybody looking, because I believe in boldness. You know if you're right with God or not. You want to be right with God. Raise your hand. Say, Pastor, I need the right. Whoa, a lot of people. Cool. Way more than I thought. Super proud of all of you. Wow. super proud of y'all. Could we pray this simple prayer together? Everybody, out loud. Let's do this. Say, Jesus, right here and right now, I declare, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I know you live today. So right here and right now, I ask you to take control of my life, my past, my present, and my future is in your hand. Right here, I give you full control of my destiny. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. See, listen, church, I believe if you pray that and you mean it, your life will never ever be the same again. Super proud of everybody who came up. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing people grabbing up something, just sweeping their tears away, wiping them away.